Hey everybody, this is a little a late night two-leg live chat, and we're talking about the Paul McCartney Got Back tour, and Annie just got back from seeing Paul. This was the last show of this leg of the tour. He's got the Glastonbury, and who knows where Paul is going next with live shows. But anyways, Andy, you know, you look like you just went in the Thunderdome, and let me mute on that, you know. Yeah. But you know, today it started kind of. I was texting with you earlier, and you were like, "Yeah, it's raining." And how was the weather earlier today?
It was when I walked out my door at 6:45 in the morning. It was hailing buckets of rain. And I'm like, boy, that's a real kind of crap way to think about how tonight's going to go. And it was like, I was texting you back and you're like, well, that'll suck. I'm like, yeah, I know. But it slowed down and it tapered off. It never got really nice out. And then my friend group that had gone with, we were checking and we're like, rain's going to hold off probably till about 10-ish. And, you know, the show did get some rain, and I'll get to that. But
okay. Yeah. Okay.
The weather was kind of like, it was kind of just iffy all day. It was cloudy. And then when we got to the stadium, it was windy as all hell, but just overcast.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, this was a big show. This was MetLife, right? This was, you said earlier, this is about 60,000 people were the in stadium. And some of those people, we know people like Ken Michaels, Joe Mayo, Darren DeVivo, our buddy Ethan Alexanian, Susan Ryan, who a lot of people know from the Fest. Real quick, how you doing, everybody? Thanks for joining us.
Hey, everybody. Joe, Tony, Paulina.
Yeah. So a lot of people were there.
There was a lot of people there, and everybody was, Joe Mayo was there, and then you're messaging everybody and like, you want to try to meet up with everybody, but it's such a massive place. And if you're traveling with people, even if you wanted to meet up with somebody in a section that might've been above you or near, it would have taken forever to get through that place. Now, I've been to MetLife a good number of times. I am a longtime suffering New York Giants fan, and that's where they play. And I must say that stadium is so poorly, poorly designed. Mike, he was there too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Mike was
great.
There too.
Another person there. Great. Yeah. I saw that you were there, Mike. Cool.
Great. Great. And Mike had great pictures too. He had an awesome, great, awesome post.
And Susan's here too. Cool. Thanks,
hi,
Susan.
Susan. So,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it was just, you try to meet up with, I wanted to try to meet up with Ethan and Ken Michaels and stuff. And it was just impossible to try to get to everybody around just because of the sheer massive amount of people that were at the show. Right. You know?
Yeah. And that's the thing. I mean, good point. I mean, it's such a, you don't really understand the hugeness of it until you're like, you take it all in, you do a, you know, a 360 and it's massive. Like you said, I mean, going up one flight of stairs could take 20 minutes. I mean, going up one flight, you know, above you could take, you know, 20, 30 minutes. Anyways, Kid O'Toole, the Queen. Hello. You went with a group of people, a bunch of friends, and how were your seats?
Our seats were good. We were in section 121, which was in the, if you know football, it's like the end zone. So it was the opposite end of the stage. It was lower level. The tickets were decently priced. They weren't like astronomical, like, you know, thousands of dollars, but they were a little more expensive than the upper ones, but, not too terrible. We were in row 19 of section 121. Had a bird's eye view of the whole stage. It did have the obstructed speaker thing in front of us, they would have that. But he's so far away at that point that you're watching the video screen 9 times out of 10 anyway.
Right, because Darren DeVivo actually posted a picture on his Facebook page with those gray covered speakers or whatever. It's hilarious. I'd probably have been so pissed. But and Joseph was there too. So I hope you had a great time too, Joseph. But okay, so did you go to the merch line first or anything like that?
Here's the thing with that. So it's like, you know, it was a zoo. It was a zoo of people. You know, MetLife right. Stadium. There's like a couple of ways in, not a lot of ways out. It's New Jersey infrastructure. It's absolutely horrible right. to try to navigate that. So you get in, and we hung out in the parking lot for about an hour.
And so then what time did you get there first? Hold on. What time did you guys get there?
We got there around 6. I guess we pulled into the lot about 10 after 6.
Okay, so you didn't get time to hear a set list or see Paul drive by or anything?
No,
okay.
I know Joe Mayo was there early, like at 4:30, like hanging out. And, you know, I don't have that right. kind of time to be sitting in a parking lot for 7 right. hours before a concert. I mean, it's great that people can do that. I just right. it was cool when I saw Joe posted the picture of him coming in, and
right.
which was cool. So we got all right, there about so 6
about the merch.
Yeah, the merch. Yeah. So walking in, so I think I saw, and I was only on the 100 level. There was only 2 merch tables around the whole circumference of the 100 level. And when we went up to the 100 level, it at like 7, I wanted to try to get the stuff as soon as I went in. As soon as you go yeah. in, you get the stuff, you get to your seat, and you go. Now, of course, here in the lovely state of New Jersey, you don't get bags anymore. Yay for us. You don't get bags anymore. So you got to take your crap and you have to hold yep. on to it and hope that it doesn't get destroyed in the seats and beer gets spilled over it and the rest of the stuff. So, but the merch table, as you experienced it, SoFi, was a zoo. Mm-hmm. At 7:30, yeah. I couldn't even, it was like 8 deep. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not dealing with this. Let's just go. Let's navigate to where our seats are. Let's see what we're looking at. So we did right. that. And then we socialized a little bit and then walking around. And then it was like around 8 o'clock, because we were looking on set list. Like he doesn't really come on until about 8:30. So we're like, we have right. time. So
right.
hit the bathroom one last time, go around, go. And then like around 8:10, I'm like, let me go back to the merch. Let me go back. And by then it thinned out. I'm like,
okay.
It didn't have to wait that long. So,
cool.
I got 2 things. I got the shirt I'm wearing, which
mm-hmm.
I was going to get the one you got, but I really like the design of this one. It's different. It's like cartoonish. So
we got to talk about that. We got to talk about that either tonight or soon, because the way, you know, it's like he's walking a plank, and if it's almost like an end of the road type thing, you know, and see, we got to talk about that another time, but what else did you get?
So I took 2 things. I mean, these, the merch is ridiculous. I got 2 right. things. The shirt and the book.
Hey, you got the tour book. All right.
I got the tour book. So that was it for me. A shirt and a book, because anything else, and I would have had to take out a second mortgage. Yeah. But that was it for me. So the book looks great. I thumbed through it very briefly.
Right.
But that was it. So I got the merch. No, yeah. Tony, in New Jersey, we don't get bags anymore. So in any store or anything. So.
But what were you in line? Were the remixes going on at the same time?
The remixes like were going. The remix was we could hear the remixes pounding throughout the stadium, which was awesome. You know, and then we need those released somehow. Those pre-show mixes that get everybody excited, and the build up. I mean, it's really a production through and through. The build up, the anticipation. No, I didn't see any coasters, Kit. I did not see any coasters. Did not see any.
Okay.
So the build up is there, and the place is filing in and starting to get dark. You know, it's 8:15, 8:20. Now everybody's in their seats and got the merch.
Right.
We're ready to go. And then you see the guitar come
right.
up, and that's it.
Right.
You
know? That's it. Yeah. Lights go down. And, when the show starts, it's going into its normal set list. I mean, were you hoping anybody would pop up on stage with Paul? Were you anticipating it?
I was thinking that it was the last date of the tour. It's around his birthday. Something special's got to happen here today.
Right.
Something special has to happen here today. My money was on Ringo, because Ringo's tour got postponed. So
right.
I'm thinking, well, if he's in the area, why not a perfect venue for Ringo to come and join him? But as we all know now, I was wrong. I there was a feeling in the air amongst the crowd and the chatter that
right.
somebody was coming today.
Well, and that's funny, because, you know, before the show started, people were posting pictures, obviously, on Facebook. And somebody did post a picture and a video of Jon Bon Jovi walking towards his seat. So
yeah,
you knew he was there, but I wasn't really expecting him to, you know, come on stage or anything like that. So, I mean, what were your first impressions as the show starting?
It was great. I haven't seen Paul in 5 years. So, you know, it was just great to see him again. And, you know, he's the consummate showman. I mean, every time I've seen Paul, it's the best time that I've seen. It's the best show that I've seen of Paul. Because it's flawless. Now, but there, you know, I'm not going to lie. There were important points in the show where I was like kind of bored.
Right.
And as you were too. Just, you know, The Great, Can't Buy Me Love, Junior's Farm, Letting Go, Got to Get You Into My Life, Come On to Me. The first five out of the gate, home run. Great.
Right.
The jacket's still on. And then we go into Let Me Roll It, Foxy Lady. And I'm like, yeah, no. You know, and then like a 5 minute story about Jimi Hendrix. No.
So. Yeah, I know. That was incredible. I mean, it felt like that story went on for an hour.
Yes.
The Jimi Hendrix story. You know, we don't need it anyways.
No, but he made it. He makes the story longer now. And it's like,
right.
Don't need it, man. So
no. But how was it sounding now? I mean, what were your thoughts on the mix? You know,
the mix was great. Bass was obviously very prominent in the mix. Right. A couple of my friends that I sat with noticed that. They're like, man, the bass is really up in a lot of this, in a lot of the songs. So, yeah, obviously it was. But the first five out of the gate, awesome. Can't Buy Me Love, Junior's Farm, Letting Go, and Got to Get You Into My Life. And come on. And then in fifth song, we go right to a song from Egypt Station, which was – there's – and just about the set list, there's parts of the set list that are really plotted very well with some recent stuff.
Right.
Scattered throughout it. And now with the late addition of a oldie thrown in there late, it's sprinkled in very well. It just needs a little bit of tweaking, in my opinion. Mm. But it's really good. I mean, so Getting Better was awesome. Let Him In, I hadn't seen live before. That was a treat. My Valentine.
Yeah, I mean, because he took out Women and Wives completely. A few weeks back, so just completely just forgot it, which is a shame. But Let Him In, I'll see Let Him In all day long, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, glad we got that. But My Valentine, obviously there was pictures of Nancy there, so he probably said, "Well, Nancy's here, right?" And here you go.
Yeah, and I was like, instant, I'm sitting down, song. I'm sitting down, and I'm gonna just chill.
Right. Were you guys standing? Right off
we,
the bat.
We were standing off the bat, and everybody was standing until My Valentine. And then everybody sat.
Right.
And then everybody pretty much sat for a good while then through the next couple of songs. 1985, Maybe I'm Amazed. Mm-hmm. You know, and then we
okay.
Go the-
all right. So Maybe I'm Amazed. I mean, how was that beginning? You know, Maybe I'm Amazed, you know, was it a rough one?
Beginning was rough, but then he got better throughout it, which is kind of consistent with what people have said. You know, he's a little warbly there at the beginning. When he opens it up with the Baby I'm Amazed, like the croakiness, but then he gets strong and he does it good and he does it justice, you know, for again, given the man's age. Yeah. He's doing a pretty damn good job given everything that he's, you know, his age and everything. A little shaky at the beginning, but hey, brave, bravo for him for still keeping it in there. I'm glad it's in there. I would have hated that if it's not. I'm glad that it's in.
Right. So then you got I've Just Seen a Face, whereas I got We Can Work It Out. So did they do that opening guitar, acoustic car, doom, 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 doom?
Yes.
You know, okay, cool.
And what I liked about that is that, to me, that sounded more of like the Wings Over America arrangement. To me, it had more of that kind of like that acoustic part of the show. It had that kind of a feel to it where they're all playing on it. So, yeah, we got those. That was the swap song. So your song was We Can Work It Out. And again, certain parts of the set list, he just checks some songs out. So, yeah, now we're into the acoustic part of the show. I really enjoyed In Spite of All the Danger. I know people are tired of that, but I enjoyed it. I don't think it needs that reprise where they end it and then they come back and sing it again. That I don't think is needed. That's kind of dull. But and the story is old and tired. But the performance of it is really good. It was one of the ones I enjoyed all night.
Mm. Okay. Then we go into Love Me Do. Then you got Dance Tonight, which I'm sure Abe was doing all of his
Yes. Yep.
craziness behind Paul.
Yeah. Dance Tonight. And then we kind of come to the point of the show that I think is the weakest for me, and that's Blackbird and Here Today.
Right. And
That's
now he was up lifted on a riser, right, for that performance.
the weakest part of the show for me is that are those two songs. Because
Okay.
nothing's changed. I mean, the elevation thing is great, but it's over a decade old at this point, and I was
Right.
starting to, if I'm being brutally honest, I was starting to tune it out a little bit at that point.
Okay. And how did he sound for those two tracks?
Great. Sounded great. He sounded great, but I was not really feeling those songs at that moment in time. And then we finished it, and then he goes right into new, and I'm like, okay,
Yeah.
I'm back in.
Cool. And then it's funny because he doesn't do the acapella bit at the end of New for
No.
some reason, which is a little disappointing, but that's fine, whatever. Lady Madonna, another instant classic that he does live all the time. I think that'll, I mean, if he continues the tour, that'll probably stay in the set list until the day he dies.
Yes.
And then you got For You, which I know isn't really necessarily one of your favorites, but
It's not.
how were the crowd reacting towards these newer songs that do you recall? Did you?
They were bopping. They were bopping
Yeah.
to the new songs. The people that were in my section behind us, a couple crew of girls behind us, they were jam. They were singing the lyrics to the songs. They were digging
Okay.
it. So they
Cool.
knew they knew the Beatles stuff better, obviously. But they weren't like, oh, here's a new McCartney song. I don't know. I'm just gonna scroll on my phone and not pay attention. That was not the
Right.
case. The crowd was into it. They were into his newer music. And I know how we call it new music. New is a song that's almost a decade old.
Anyways, then the part that I'm completely totally jealous
Yeah.
of the addition of Jet to the set list. Talk about that.
Boy, I lucked out with this. You didn't get so lucky.
Yeah.
Thank God he put Jet back in. Jet is one of those songs that was made to be played in a rock
Played.
arena stadium.
Yes. Agreed.
But
Agreed.
again, if it was always in the set list, like Let Me Roll It, we'd probably be saying we're sick of Jet. But we're not sick of Jet. But
Right.
it needs to be in the rotation. And I like where he has it slotted in here a little later in the set. When he has played Jet over the last decade, it's always kind of in the beginning of the show. I like where it
Right.
comes right after For You, which, by the way, I don't love For You, but I enjoyed it. It was good. But Jet, God, that when I've actually I think I went live on my page for a little bit there because I'm like,
Yeah, you
okay,
did.
this is Jet.
Now,
So.
when For You's over with, did they go right into Jet, or was it like end For You and then kind of into it? Did it feel like a medley at all, or was it like
No, it was a clear
okay.
stop.
Okay, it was a clear stop. Okay.
It was a clear stop. Serge makes a great point here, just overall with the whole show,
Yeah.
is that adding songs with the horns. Yes.
Yeah. And congratulations to the Golden State Warriors for winning another
Oh, did they?
championship.
Oh, they won. Okay.
Yes.
But
Yes. I
yeah.
hope you were. But anyways, so yeah, totally jealous about you guys getting Jet. That's awesome. Then back into a
Yeah.
wide or many Beatles songs next.
Yeah, a lot of them, many big, and then again, this part of me kind of was like, again, Mr. Kite's been in there for a while, something, and oh, blah, D. I kind of was like, like it was okay. They were all performed great, and something never disappoints, especially
Right.
when now that he does that Concert for Georgia rendition where he starts with the uke and then he goes into a full band treatment of the song.
Right.
Tremendous. Tremendous. It's just from my ears, it's just a little tired. However, and oh, blah, D, same thing. Fun little song, crowd pleasing. However, when we get to You Never Give Me Your Money in Bathroom Window, that was awesome because that was
Yeah.
new. That was new.
But it's still really weird when you hear You Never Give Me Your Money started with the Out of College Money Spent.
Yes.
You know,
That
so
kind of took me by surprise. I'm like, wait, we're just starting the song with that? Like
right.
cold. Cold. You're
Right.
starting it
Cold.
like
Exactly.
out of college. I'm like, usually because he's done weird things with that. He's played You've Never Give Me Your Money before himself on a piano. He did it on the live album in 2002. Right. And I saw him on that tour do it that way. And now this time he's just picking it up without a cut and then right into it. Different, but I appreciated because it was a new arrangement. It was a new song.
Right. Right. And then he goes right into She Came In Through the Bathroom Window, which for me was a major highlight, but it was medley style. It wasn't a clear stop and then going into She Came In the Bathroom Window, right? I mean, for you it was one constant thing.
Okay, one constant, cool. One kind. That was a definite highlight of the show,
right?
Of how those two songs work together. Absolutely. Right.
Now Get Back starts. Now were they showing bits from the documentary, the Get Back, during the Get Back song?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. You had the footage. You had all the cleaned up, restored footage from Peter Jackson up when that song was. And he talked about it a little bit, like he does, you know, Peter Jackson, mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. And then he goes right into it, you know. And the place got up. The place was pretty amped when that song came on.
I bet. And then he goes into the fourth song from the Band on the Run album, the title track.
Yeah.
For me, he was a little rough with the, you know, In the Rain Exploded bit, the last bit of it. I mean, how was he
that vocally? Was fine tonight. That was Band on the Run was fine tonight, I thought.
Okay.
And of course, all the phones came out and he makes his joke, you know, Black Hole and Flash of Light.
Right.
And all that other, you know.
Okay. So.
Yeah.
Right. So after that, what's going on? I mean, the big surprise now.
So after that, that's when it ends. And he starts talking about, you know, Jersey and, you know, we got a local guy and we're like, well, who's this going to be? You know, there's a guy. And then boom, like within 10 seconds, Bruce comes walking out.
Right.
You know, it was
place long. Goes crazy.
The place goes crazy. It wasn't some kind of big buildup. You know, song ended. He goes, we're New Jersey. There's a local guy here. Blah blah blah. Blah. Boom, and he came right out. and he came right out. And I haven't seen Bruce in concert in years, and he looks pretty damn good. You know, he looks like
yeah. The image I saw, he looks fine. He sounded fine.
And I just didn't know. I didn't know if they were going to do a Beatles song first or what.
Right. I mean, talk about. I mean, going in the glory days. Who would have predicted that? No one would have predicted that whatsoever. You know, going into a song that I don't even know if they had a chance to rehearse it. You know,
who knows? But they came right, and it was cool, and I couldn't believe it. I'm like, I've seen Bruce Springsteen, you know, probably a dozen times. And, you know, to see him with Paul McCartney at Paul's show doing Glory Days. And it was just, I'm watching Paul do the Glory Days part. And it's just, it's right. Weird watching a Beatle sing a Bruce Springsteen song.
I know.
It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't look right. You know, like this British guy singing like this American guy's like Americana song. But it was cool. It was absolute. The place went crazy.
Right.
Absolutely that's crazy.
It had to have gone crazy. I mean, from the minute he was on stage to the minute he got off. Beatle Mad Mike 9, he said he got to meet me, Mr. Mayo. That's awesome. Glad to hear that. Very glad to hear that. And Serge said Paul's bass sounded great on Glory Days.
His bass was great. Yeah. And I think it actually got a little bit stronger throughout the night. It picked up in the mix, I could hear.
Gotcha. All right, cool. So then they go into I Want to Be Your Man, which, you know, probably people were hoping Ringo would have joined for that song.
Which I think is pretty interesting because the Stones just played I Want to Be Your Man in Liverpool last week.
Right.
And now here's Bruce and Paul doing it here in New Jersey, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah. So were the Hot City Horns playing during Glory Days?
I honestly can't remember. I don't think they were, but they might have been. I don't think they were.
Interesting.
Kit calls it the. Yeah.
A happy drink song.
Yeah.
Funny. So they do I Want to Be Your Man, and then he takes off, I guess, and then Paul goes into the piano set, and
He almost again, fell. I mean, he almost he slipped again tonight up those
really?
Stairs. Yeah.
Oh boy.
Yeah. He slipped okay. Once or twice too. Yeah.
No kidding.
Not that he fell, but he slipped on those stairs going up to the piano.
Hmm. Interesting. Now, I mean, was it raining at all at the
now you bring up the rain. So the rain around this time, I don't know if it was this song or not. Somebody who was in the show can say it started to rain around 10-ish and it was coming down. I'm like, oh great, here we go. Grab my raincoat. And the rain started to come down for a good 15 or so minutes. No, I think it was later. Actually, it was during Live and Let Die. It was raining, actually. Yeah, it was raining during Live and Let Die. But it did rain, and it picked up, but then it died down again, which was nice.
Okay, cool. So Let It Be, and then into Live and Let Die. I mean, how were the whole explosions, the fireworks?
Explosions from where I was sitting was fine. I didn't feel the heat too much because I was back. I felt it, but I didn't get singed or anything. But it never disappoints. You know, and I know mm-hmm. he's a showman and everything, but it does not disappoint. It's a great song. The pyrotechnics are awesome, and I know it's just it's an act for him, but it's always one of the highlights of the show. And I mean, you were up close. You were right on top of it. So
yeah, right. Then obviously, Hey Jude, and then that's the end of the main set.
Yes.
So they go off. I mean, everybody's going crazy. I'm so. Oh, speaking of, during Let It Be, did everybody have their flashlights on their phone? Did you notice that?
Mostly, yeah. Yep, yeah. That was another phone song for sure.
Okay.
Oh yeah, they okay. That's right, kid. You said horngasm, right? So they on my video. So yes, they did have the horns for one day. Yes. See, I was just so lost in the moment and locked in on Bruce and Paul that I wasn't even looking at those guys. And those guys were damn good too, by the way. And he gave them a shout out, which was nice.
Oh, absolutely. Before we get into the encore, I mean, did you notice people in the crowd and, you know, their reactions, you know, to the show, or you were pretty much just focused on on Paul and the band?
I was pretty mostly focused on Paul and the band, but I was pretty observant within my kind of corner of the people that were in front of me. And there were people that were elderly, and they were just enjoying and sitting. And then there were again, and that's the one thing I can say about a Paul McCartney show is that there was people of all ages there, young kids, old elderly people. And that's what's beautiful to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely all age show for sure when you go see McCartney. He comes back out, they're waving all the flags, I'm sure.
Yep.
And he talks about, you know, he tells a story, right? Peter Jackson, you know,
sent me the thing, I can do this. Do you fancy if I do this? Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Just want to see it. Let me just see it. And that seeing the videos on YouTube is one thing, but seeing it live is pretty cool. And he was mm-hmm. like, hey, it's virtual, but hey, it's cool.
Yeah, seeing John's face on those big screens, very impactful.
Yeah, and then he's turning around, like looking at him and playing with him. That's pretty cool for what mm-hmm. it is. So that was awesome.
After I've got a feeling, the other Jersey boy, I guess, comes up. And talk about that.
So he goes, oh, there are birthdays today. And then Bon Jovi comes out with these balloons. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, well, there's somebody having a birthday today. And he's celebrating a birthday. Let's all sing to him. So then Bon Jovi gets the whole place to serenade Paul to happy birthday. And then releases these balloons to the sky.
Right. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, when we all expected at that point for him to start, you know, okay, he was going to sing a song. Okay, because Bruce had his song. What song is Bon Jovi going to sing? Are him and Paul going to start singing, Living on a Prayer? God, I don't know if I want to hear that.
Oh, that's funny. Because, you know, I was kind of curious if at any point in time people were going to just, like, automatically start singing Happy Birthday to him. You know what I mean?
Well, because it's funny. A lot of people, the diehards in the first, like, 30 rows that always have the signs, had signs, it's little placards that said happy birthday. So when they did this, they shot the video screen shot to the people all holding up happy birthday signs. And I think he was really moved by that.
Cool. Jay here says voice sounded great. So I guess Jay was there as well. So cool.
I agree.
All right. Yeah. He just says, show was amazing, 80 years old. Absolutely. Birthday Helter Skelter. The wind down of the show, the Golden Slumbers, carry that weight at the end. You know, I talked about having that moment there when Golden Slumbers, he's starting to sing that song, and then you're coming to the realization that this could be it. This could be the last time you see Paul. I mean, did you have that feeling at all, or were you just still in the moment enjoying enjoying yourself?
I was enjoying my show. I was enjoying myself, and I felt that way before the show. God, this could really be it. But then going throughout the 3 hours, of which he had one sip of water, everybody.
Right. Yeah.
He did take one sip. Normally when I've seen him do Golden Slumbers, the medley, it's a very kind of, that's a big moment in the show because it's emotional. And it was tonight, but I didn't get the feeling that this was it. Like I firmly believe he's coming back. So I didn't feel as sentimental about Golden Slumbers tonight as I have in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Because he doesn't show any signs of slowing down.
Hmm.
He sounded great. He played for 3 straight hours. And
right.
Okay, with some varying degrees, I go, well, little spots where maybe his voice went a little off. Maybe I'm amazed and stuff, but he was great. He sang fine. So he's not going anywhere anytime soon. So, I mean, 39 songs, 39 freaking songs. And we come in with the two extras with
right. Rose. Yeah. So, all in all, you've seen Paul how many times now?
A dozen.
I mean, where do you put this?
I'll put this probably right up around 2 or 3.
Oh,
you know,
wow.
Probably way up there with 2 or 3 because of the variedness in the set list. I think it's as good as the Yankee Stadium show I saw in 2011. It's up there for that. The Citi Field show. You know, this show, MetLife in 2016, they were all good shows. That's what we were saying when we were leaving tonight. The show, you don't leave a Paul McCartney show and go, he wasn't that good tonight. He's always good.
Yeah, right. And we'll get to that part here in a second. But our friend Susan said, at the Fenway, the whole crowd spontaneously sang happy birthday to Paul and his band joined in. So that's pretty cool. And see, that was the kind of thing I was expecting that was going to happen. See, I didn't think just like, you know, somebody was just going to come up there and lead, you know, the crowd in like a happy birthday.
Which is what kind of what Bon Jovi ended up doing.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So you experienced the same thing I did leaving SoFi, where you guys just so you guys were in the car for a good hour, right?
Oh yeah. Yep. A good hour. Just show ends at 11:30 and right. I don't think we got out of the parking lot until what time is it now? It's 2:24. We didn't get out of the parking lot until 12:40.
Wow.
So all over right. an hour.
Yeah.
Just to get out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Jason, he did sing with John. They did do the I've Got a Feeling bit. But what, so go ahead.
But I'll just say, once you get out with the way how MetLife is, once you get out of the parking lot, it goes. It just moves. So yeah, that's just, you had the same experience and I did too. And then I was home within a half hour.
So next year, let's say he announces another tour, he comes by you, you're obviously going again,
going.
Right?
I'm there.
Yeah.
I'm there.
There you go.
Absolutely. You go. So yeah, well worth the wait. I hadn't seen Paul in 5 years. The last time I saw Paul was at Prudential in Newark in 2017. So it's been quite a while. It's been a long run. And I'm so glad I went to see him. This book looks great. Is it $50 worth great? I don't know. We'll see. But I'm glad I went. I'm glad I got this shirt, which I was going to get the black one. I said, let me get this green one. It's different.
Oh, no, it's cool. It's cool. It is. It's unique. And again, we're going to have a chat about that plank thing that he's walking on sometime soon. But glad you went. Glad you had a great time. You had a great great fan or a friend base with you that went. You went with your friend Bob, right? That we went with Steve Hackett. to with Steve Hackett with. You also had your other buddy that was on our show for that Up Close show, right?
Yeah, both of those guys were at the show.
Both of them
Steve,
were there.
Steve and Vinny that were on though. They both saw McCartney at the Up Close concert in 1992, and they went in for free too. And so I have a really good crew of McCartney fans and Beatle fans, and we're always all in, and they're two leg supporters. So we had a blast, and some of them waited though. We got in the car and left, and we just sat in the car, drove home, and listened to McCartney and Wings music.
Right. Excellent. All right. Well, I know you got to work in the morning, so thank you for popping on and doing this. Talking about your experience. Thank you everybody for joining us here late night. I know it's it's almost 2:30 there in your neck of the woods. It's still yesterday where you are. It's today where it's tomorrow where you are for me still. So again, thank you everybody for popping in. Andy, again, thank you for sharing your experience with us, and we're gonna see you guys real soon. Obviously, this weekend it's Record Store Day. Hopefully y'all get that Women and Wives 12-inch single, and we'll be talking about that. The 80th birthday is this Saturday, and we have a doozy for you. We recorded our epic ranking the albums. It's like 3 hours long.
It's a whopper.
It's a whopper, all right. We ranked 26 of 26 albums in his canon, and we had a great time doing it. Had a great time with you, Andy, just talking about these albums and where we ranked them and everything like that.
It was a fun show.
Yeah, and we're gonna have to let Andy get out of here before he passes out. We got to get him at least to get 3-4 hours sleep before.
Thank you, Susan, and thank you, Kit.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And, guys, we'll see you real soon. Don't forget to hit that subscribe if you haven't yet. Hit that like button, and we'll see you soon. Take care.